Brother Aurel reached the Abbey of St. Velis in the dead hour after midnight, when the snow on the mountain track had stopped falling and the moon had drawn behind iron clouds. He led his horse the last mile by the bridle. Plate clattered softly under his cloak. The bell tower stood broken against the dark like a snapped finger, and the only light was the lantern he carried. A low yellow flame hooded against the wind. The Abbess of the Vale had said the relic must be brought down before the spring thaw. She had said it twice, in the same flat voice, as if she were repeating something a colder mouth had spoken first. She had not met his eyes when she gave him the key. The gate stood open. Snow had drifted into the cloister and lay in long, unbroken curves. No fox prints, no bird prints, no monk's prints. Aurel tied the horse in the lee of the chapter house and walked alone toward the inner door. Inside the nave, the candles were lit. They should not have been. The abbey had been sealed for 40 winters. The tallow stubs on the altar were no taller than a thumb, and yet they burned, and the wicks gave no smoke. Aurel set down his lantern and crossed himself in the slow, old way, and the candles did not waver. He could hear, very faintly, a voice in the dead language reciting the night office. There was no one in the choir stalls. The voice came from the floor. Brother Calvanus had warned of this. Calvinus had been the last keeper, sent up the mountain in the 7th year of the old king. His journal lay on the lectern where the abbess had told Aurel to find it, bound in dark leather, the pages soft from handling no living man had performed. Aurel turned to the marked page. The relic is not what they told you. The hand of the saint did not wither. It only waits. They built this house to hold it, not to honor it. They sent me, and now they send you, because the hand must always have a keeper. Do not open the chamber. Aurel read the page twice. Then he read the page that came after it. If you have come this far, you have already opened the chamber. There is no fault in that. There is only the next thing. He closed the journal. His hand, he noticed, was very steady. The chanting under the floor had grown louder, not louder in volume but closer, as if the voice had risen one step at a time from a deep cellar. He drew his sword. The grip was cold through the gauntlet. He walked toward the door behind the altar, the one with no handle, the one the abbess had warned him not to think about. The door was open. Beyond it, the stair descended into a chamber lit by a light that was not flame. On the low stone table, on a cloth of bleached linen, lay a single hand. It was an old hand, the color of tallow, and the fingers were folded inward as a sleeper folds them. As Aurel watched, the smallest finger straightened, then the next. The chanting stopped. The candles in the nave behind him went out, all at once, with no breath. Aurel did not move. He looked at the hand and saw. Quite clearly, in the way one sees a thing one has known all along, that it was waiting for him to take it. To carry it down. To carry it, perhaps, for 40 winters, until someone else came up the mountain. Until the abbess sent the next letter, in the same flat voice. He thought of Calvanus, writing those journal pages by this same dead light, and he understood, finally, what the second entry had meant. He set down his sword. He went forward across the stones. The hand was very cold when he lifted it, and very light, and the fingers closed once around his own. Gently, almost in greeting. The lantern outside the chapter house guttered and held. The horse in the snow did not look up.